So Chazal say that the reason why we keep Purim and Adar Sheni is Timas Mechgula Legula. Timas Mechgula Legula, so you have Purim Adar Sheni. So the Shalom Paskin, a person has Yortzeit in the year that he was of the Ptira, it was a year which was a Shana Pshuta. So which Adar is the real other for the purpose of your side. So Mishmar comes down to Kalai, we machmer both others, but the Pasha reading of the Shulchan Aruch is it's other Rishon. So the Morris question then, and one of the Raya is from the Gemara over here, the Morris says, why do you keep other and other, permanent other Sheni? Well, if other Sheni is the real other, that's why you keep permanent other Sheni. The fact that the Morris is asking the question, why do you keep permanent other Sheni, the Morris is saying because Master Gula Gula means really, theoretically, it should be an other Rishon. Because other Rishon is other. Other Sheni is this extra month. So why do we do an other Sheni? The answer is Master Gula Gula. So in the spirit of Master Gula Gula, I want to take a thought from Purim into Pesach. So somebody asked me on Purim. The person was rather inebriated. So the people stood up to Klal Yisrael, and the Pesukim describe that they had this fight, and they killed 75,000 enemies. And in Shushan was another 500, I'm assuming 500 was separate from the 75,000. And then Esther asked for another day, and they killed another 300 in Shushan. The numbers sound fairly small. The numbers sound like, you know, that's all the enemies that the Jews had. So the Pesukim seem to describe like this, is like they had this fight, and there was extraordinary victory, etc. Question number one. Question number two, the Sfasemis wants to know why we keep Purim on the 14th of Adar. The day that the Nes took place was Yud Gimel Klai, so stood up against their enemies, and they were able to overcome them. That's the day of the Nes. So we're commemorating the Nes, we should celebrate Purim on the 13th. The year which had happened, obviously they weren't celebrating on the 13th, they were fighting on the 13th. The celebration was on the 14th. But in the following year, in the subsequent years, the chronological thing should have been to celebrate on the 13th, not the 14th. So he says a fascinating idea that there was two egress. The first egress doesn't mention the Reyes Semes Vezakosom. And the second egress does. The Kayem is Purim Elbiz Manihem. That which Shekimo Nashim Azaram, the Reyat Samas Vizakasam. It only mentions the Tainus Esther, the Tainus, the Reyat Samas Vizakasam, and the second Igaris. And the first Igaris doesn't mention that. He suggests there's a difference between the two Igaris. He says the following, and I'm going to maybe expand on what he's saying. The Pesukim describe after the Haman has been killed and the Mordechai has now been made the Mishnah Lamelech, and they've sent out these letters. So the Rabbi Me'amei words in Yadim that the Goyim are Kinovo Pacha Mordechai Aleim, Pacha Yehudim Aleim. There's a lot of Goyim which temper down their attitude towards the Jews. They were scared of the Jews. Moshe Misyadim, according to Shabshat, means that they weren't actually Jewish. They acted like they're Jewish. It's like being Misehed is like an act. So they acted Jewish because they wanted to curry favor with the Jews. And the Sarah Medina is Chashar Panim, and the Pacha is Sarah Semalacha, Menasim is Yehudin, Kinofa, Pacha, Mordechai, Elohim. And Kiyish Mordechai Halech B'Gadol, it's just getting, the reputation is getting better and better and better. And after all that, there's still 75,000 people who stand up against the Jews. there's 700,000 people, which their sinna is so baked into them that with all the pach they have from the Yehudim, and that the king is on their side, and Mordechai is the Mishnah Melech, and this is a world where the king and the Mishnah Melech have extraordinary power. Setting up with the Jews is the stupidest thing you could ever do in your life at this point in time. The Mishnah Melech is a Jew, and he's not going to take kindly to people who set up with the Jews. And still, they stood up to the Jews. Because the pachad was, their hatred was so baked into who they are. We would have expected nobody to stand up to them. They would come ready to fight, and everybody would just put their tails between their legs and run away. That's how it happened. In Shusha, where, you know, you say, yeah, I'm worried about Mordechai, the impact that Mordechai's going to have, etc. Like, you know, yeah, I live 2,000 miles away from Shusha until they find out about it. In Shusha, the whole court is kowtowing to Mordechai. That you have to be foolish not to. He's in the favor of the king. And this is a world where that's all that cares. That's all that counts. And there's 500 people who stand up against the Jews. And Esther says, not only that, there'll be more tomorrow. They didn't get the lesson yet. So Sasema says, what Klai Yisrael is celebrating, we spoke about the idea that Klai Yisrael had fallen into the culture of above all, the Poras. They married Nashim Nachriyos. They were settling down. We spoke about the deal. They went to the Suda. Achashverosh comes out wearing the kahuna. He's celebrating the fact that the Jews are not going to go back there to Israel. The basement is not going to be rebuilt. He's celebrating that. And the Jews are being nehenna from the Suda. They had given up their Judaism. They had given up their definition of themselves as a Jew. They did tshuva, etc. But there was a wake-up call that after everything which happened, there's people who still want to kill them. Their hatred is so baked in them. We've assimilated. We're part of the society. We're the leaders. We're everything. We're the doctors, and we're the physicians, and we're the lawyers, and we're everything, and they still hate our guts. That realization, when it sank in, was when Klai Yisrael reached the final repudiation of the culture above the Poras. That's the moment of Geula. And that was on Yudalit. While they're fighting. They think about this. They sit and they wake up next morning and said, I'm done. I'm a Jew. And that's the way it is, and I'm really proud of it, because they don't want us. After everything, which every single piece of logic is to tell you that we should be accepted into society, and the Jews wanted to be accepted into society, they were ready to be, even when there was this call to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know what the numbers were involved with, but 40,000 people come back. 40,000? A few years later. Every Jew should pick up. They were so ensconced. The Sosema says, but the clarity that they're not part of that, they became a separate enclave. There was yeshivas, they were separate, they had their own menhagim, they became distinct. Because society does not want them. And when they realized that, they let go of society. They let go of the culture. And that was the moment of Gula, and that's what we're celebrating on Yudalit Adar. That we're not like the Goy. We have a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu for good, and we do Averis for bad. But we live in a different existence than the rest of the world. There's multiple articles people have written post October 7th. The semi-assimilated Jew, the assimilated Jew, etc. Like the wake-up call. that the people who were their allies, that they went and they stood shoulder to shoulder, fighting for the rights for the every single minority which exists. And now, when it comes to the Jews, those people are calling for kill the Jews, free Palestine, from the river to the sea. Palestine shall be free from the river to the sea. We were partners. We were allies. We were friends. No, you're not. We hate your guts. And it's forced people to rethink where they stand as Jews. That's a process of geula, of entering into a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the celebration of Purim is not the fact that the Jews were saved. This is almost the same. Celebration of Purim is the fact that the Jews came to their senses and realized we're not the same as the Goyim. We live in a different world. We live in a world with a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what defines us. It's a fascinating Sos Emes. It's a powerful Sos Emes. The Gemara says that Lechem Oini, Lechem She'en Olam Dvorim Harpe, it's called Matzah's Lechem Oini, because you say on the Dvorim Harpe. So she says, what are the Dvorim Harpe that you say on the Lechem Oini? How will the Haggadah? We're Rashi and Pesachim. Hallel v'Haggadah. So it's a little bit funny, because I think I would have said Haggadah and Hallel, because that's the order that we have of the Haggadah. So why did Rashi say Hallel v'Haggadah? Rashi seems to turn the order around. Who composed Hallel? So the Rambam Sochem has this whole slew of different possibilities of who composed Hallel. According to one of the Tanoim, Hallel was composed by Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael spontaneously composed Hallel on their own. In Mitzrayim, as they're shechting the Korban Pesach, the Rambam says, is it possible to bring the Korban Pesach and not say Hallel? So they composed Hallel. So Klal Yisrael of their own came up with the words of Hallel. They composed Hallel. And they said Hallel. That's according to one pshat in the Gemara. So we don't have any words beforehand. We're choosing the words to say. We know that tonight, we're being makar the Korban Pesach. Tonight we're going to be freed. That's it. Mitzrayim is going to be punished. Klal Yisrael is going to be freed. The Rosh Hashanah said that. We know it's about to happen. We have no sveikas about the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're composing this poem of praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu for our freedom, the fact that we've been saved, and this, of course, the Torah to Kadosh Baruch Hu that my family is alive. It's not there. That's not the words. What is Klal Yisrael? What do they compose? What are their first words? Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Person goes through Hitler's concentration camps, Yimach Shmo, survives, the Allies come, and they liberate the camp. There's a person of still sane mind, the sane body is strong enough to say praises to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what are his praises? Thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I survived. That maybe he let his child survive also, his wife. That's what we would say. That's what I would say. Well, later with a person shouldn't happen. We shouldn't be tested. But if a person, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we made it. The focus would be ourselves. Kodesh Baruch Hu is, of course, a type of Kodesh Baruch Hu that he gave to us. The Baruch Hu, thank you, that now I'm able to put on tefillin again. The first words out of his mouth. Thank you, Hashem. First, I can light Shabbos there, get licht again. Thank you, Hashem. I can keep Shabbos again. And those are the first words that we would say. That's Kaisel's first words. It's not about the physical salvation. It's about we live in a different plane than the rest of the world. We don't live like the Goyim. We live in a world where we are Kodesh Baruch Hu's Avod. We live in a world where it's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's about a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the first words out of Klai Yisrael, instinctively the first words out of their mouth. This Baruch Hashem, we are now Avdei Hashem. It's a mind-boggling thought process to think about. There's a Chodesh B'Sham Yisrael, what point you split the hollow. What point do you split the hollow? Beis Hillel says, you say, the way we do it, you say the first two paragraphs, second paragraph being Beseches Lomim Mitzrayim, and then you have the Suda, and then we start L'Lonu Hashem L'Lonu. Beis Hillel says you stop after the first paragraph. So the Hallel, which is the culmination of the Haggadah, does not mention the words B'tzeisis Omei Mitzrayim. That's for later, it's after the Sun. So what have you tried to reach? You said the Haggadah, and you say, B'chol d'arvador chai v'adam l'ir sezat z'kihilu yatsum Mitzrayim. L'fichach v'nat l'fiyam l'haydus v'halel. And you say the capital of Halo Avdei Hashem. And that's all you say. R'chatar Hashem, G'al Yisrael, you eat your matzah, you eat your morah, etc. That's B'sham. So it says, no, you add the Seisim of Mitzrayim. Okay? Seisim of Mitzrayim, Beis Yakam Amlois. So what, therefore what? We are now, Haisa Yehuda L'Kodesh. Not that we're free, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, none of that. Seisim of Mitzrayim, Beis Yakam Amlois. Haisa Yisrael L'Kodesh, Yisrael Amlois Hashem. Yisrael is the vehicle for Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malucha, for Hashem's Memshalah. Do you hear the Madrega that Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim? Because I'll say the Kershi Yeshiva was for 86 years. It means there was people who were born, lived, and died in concentration camps. Hitler Yimach Shemoy had the concentration camps for 6 years of the war. It started beforehand. We'll call it 9 years. This is 86 years. And you're finally free. Your Zaydi is buried in Mitzrayim because he didn't make it out. And your father is buried in Mitzrayim because he didn't make it out. He was born and he lived and he died under the Kodesh Yeshiva. Your children are stuck in the walls of the pyramid. Your backs are finally recovering from the whips for years. And the first words out of your mouth are, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. Ha'isa Yehuda l'kodshay. Yisrael, Mam Shalaisov. Lo ilonu Hashem, lo ilonu kilashim chlaten kavoy. Do you understand what we're talking about? That's what Geula is. Geula is not, we're free. Liyos am chavshi be'artzeinu. Nothing to do with me chavshi. It's about a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. 1,000 years later, almost 1,000 years later, Klal Yisrael wakes up and says, you know what? We're talking about the Goyim. We live differently. The Goyim have spat us out. The Goyim don't want us. The Goyim do not accept us as part of them. We're not supposed to be part of them. So what are we? We're the Geula Hashem. We're the people which have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The verse says Geula is the Goyol, is the relative who stands there and takes care of his relative. We go out to Yisrael, and the Russian says, I'm going to be your relative. Moshe Rabbeinu's first words to Paro, B'ni Bechari Yisrael. If you don't say B'ni Bechari Yisrael, B'ni Bechari Yisrael. Klai Yisrael gets the message. I would venture a guess, I don't know whether it's Emes, that not everybody here in Klai Yisrael was holding this madraga. One-fifth came out, and four-fifths stayed behind. Four-fifths were wonderful people, and they thanked Kadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that there was a gu, that they were free, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Person says, that's beautiful. But the reason why I sent Moshe Rabbeinu was because you're going to come to Har Sinai, and you're going to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu by Har Sinai. The purpose of this Yitziyah is you're going to become Avdei Hashem. And if you're in, great. If not, I'm sorry, I can't have you. There's a very scary Gemara that looks at us. The Gemara says, when Mashiach comes, so Avraham Yitzchak will stand there and smile. Moshe Rabbeinu will lead us once again, like, you know, the song goes, right? Etc. The Gemara doesn't say that. The version is going to take one-tenth, then one-tenth of one-tenth. Everybody else will be Leveir, will be we wiped out. Maybe some suggest we've been through that. That the various different sorrows that Klai Yisrael has been through has been part of that process. So we won't have to go through that process again when Mashiach comes. Halavah. But what's going to be the criteria, which group you're in, is do you want to be an Eved Hashem or not? Rabbi Yochum says that the purpose of the night of the Seder is not Emunah. Emunah is the prelude. The purpose of the night of the Seder is Avdus. I once heard from another Mechashev, he said, you know, so we've been through this whole process of the Haggadah. All of it is to lead us to the moment to say these words of Hallel, Hallel, Avdei Hashem. That's what Rashi says. Hallel, the Haggadah. The purpose isn't the Haggadah. The Haggadah is a vehicle to get us to that moment. That is the goal of the night. Then, you're Avdei Hashem. What do Avdei Hashem do? They do Hashem's mitzvahs. They eat the matzah, they eat the morer, the dalakaisis, the karech, nafi koyman. Oh my gosh, so much matzah. Avdei Hashem. Yeah. Too much matzah. Did you get the message that this is what you're here for? You're here in this world, you just committed that you're here to be as Kadosh Baruch Hu's servant and serve him as he commands you. And Bereshit, like, you know, like, so much matzah. Oh, I can't take it. And my father's so matzah, like, he holds, like, you know, you have to eat a matzah and a half every single time. Right? That's what we're here for. This was the goal. This was the moment you get to show Kadosh Baruch Hu how much you're committed to his service. Don't kvetch. It's b'simcha gedolah v'rabba. I'm ready to be here, Baruch Hashem, mocha mezumen, to serve you as you see fit. That's why I exist in this world. Now, it sounds a little bit intense. I'm not there. Maybe you are, I'm not. We're not ready. The soldier, like, every single moment he's at attention, ready to fight. The soldier also needs sleep. The soldier is going to be in battle ready mode. Battle ready mode. For days and days and end, it's very challenging. Very challenging.
You need downtime.
The Steipel writes that the day of Yeshiva Bacher is the following. It says, a Bacher should sleep 8 hours. A Bacher sleeps 8 hours, has a lot of strength, a lot of koches to stay focused. So you have 16 hours left. 2 hours, he binges 2 hours for davening between Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. We actually are a little bit ahead of him. We have more than, we get less than 2 hours, we have more times than something else. Steiper never daven too, too long, okay? Right. If I daven for the Yom, 2 hours isn't enough, that's a different story, okay, right? I can't read the words that fast. So now you're down to 14 hours. You need 2 hours a day. Person needs to relax, eat something, rest a little bit, etc. You're left with 12 hours a day to learn. So you know what? You're not holding by 12 hours a day of learning yet. Fine, no problem. So you're holding by 8, 10. If a person sleeps a normal night, they will be able to learn 8, 10 hours a day without a difficulty. You can't because you're exhausted. So your mind wanders, so you're frustrated, so you get up, you gotta, it's a cycle. Ramat Yeshua Solomon Zatzal, he spoke in Cleveland, he came to Cleveland for, I don't remember what occasion, some simcha I think it was. He spoke in yeshiva. He spoke about the different things that Yeshiva Bacher needs to know. The last thing he says, Medav gain shlofen. He says, many a galut Yisrael was lost on the way to bed. If you got a normal night's sleep, you would function. That sleep is avdus. The Yisrael makes it so hard to go to sleep on time, because he knows what your day will look like when it happens. That sleep is part of Avdus Hashem. You need to sleep. Don't come back on your sleep. But realize that that gives you the courage to do what you're supposed to do. You need to take a break. Gesundheit. You need a break? Yes. Mental health break. Gewaldig. But don't overdo it. I think I told you the story that there was, when I was a Bacher, there was something called driveway companies. Driveway companies. So some guy had his Einfall that, so Rheingold is in Cleveland and he needs to get to New York. Bob is in Cleveland and needs to get his car to New York. So it's like a Shulchanah service. Right? So he charges Bob for Coke, it was like $500 to have the car delivered to New York. Gave Rheingold tank full of gas, money for gas, money for tolls. Didn't cost Rheingold a penny. Rheingold was a delivery service. Got the car there. He charged, pocketed $400. He got his car to New York. He got to New York because he needed to get to New York. Everybody was happy. Great system. One problem. Rheingold might decide to drive away with the car. Right? Bad idea, right? So when you walk in, they would take a picture of you from all angles. They'd fingerprint you 3 times. They would inform you that taking a car over state lines, sitting over state lines is a federal offense. And if you're not, you know, don't deliver within a certain amount of time, they report you to the FBI. So that intimidated most of us. And they probably, I'm sure they had insurance to cover the cases, but that didn't work. So one time I'm there picking up a car. I was going to Chicago, I think. And getting back was always a bit ahead. There was very few cars going from New York to Cleveland. There was car goes from Cleveland to New York all the time. But from New York to Cleveland, I almost never got a car back. It was a big headache. But okay. I'm there, and this guy's picking up a car going to Tucson. And they're telling me, he says, you know, it's X amount of miles. He should not drive more than, I think they said, 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. He must rest. And it hit me a fascinating thing. He's got a job. And he's supposed to take a break. As a matter of fact, if he doesn't take a break, he's not doing his job. But if he decides to stay by the rest stop, it's a federal offense. That's our lives. We need breaks. We need the breaks. As a matter of fact, it's part of the job. But if you park yourself by the break, it's a federal offense.
It's not others anymore. So the guy said, I need a 10-minute break during the Seder to be able to function. No problem. Take a 10-minute break. But why 25 minutes? You need 25 minutes. So you're parking in the break, in the rest stop. The guy says, I need a break, Ben Sturm. I need time to air out. Gzunta hates. I need supper time. I need time. Yeah, I got it. No problem. That help you learn better? 100%. How much? I don't know. You need a leeway. You can't get it down to it. I need exactly 4 hours and 27 seconds. You know I got it? You know what? You need leeway? Okay, I got it. Not 10 hours. Like 8 hours later, he's still reading, doing his video game, my dad's reading a book, okay? Right? Whatever it is, right? It's a federal offense. Halo Avdei Hashem, when Klal Yisrael comes to the Hakara, that the godless of Klal Yisrael were here to be able to be carry Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. We're going to be, we're the vehicle for Kvod Shemayim. That's our purpose. That's our schus. That's why we're here. And that's the unique status of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael came to the clarity. We are the Yarshim of the 1/5, not of the 4/5. We have the spiritual DNA of the 1/5. That the first words out of the concentration camp were, "Where's Tefillin?" The first words were, "Shabbos." That's who we're the Yarshim of. We have it in our neshamas. We should touch into that koyach. Take it, blow on it, develop it. It should burst into a flame inside of our neshamas. The kishmak, what it means to be exactly to be the Avdei Hashem. Good day.